You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 128. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we are going to tell you all about some local tournament events. We have a spoiler from the new set and some random other stuff. So why don't we just get started? I was not at the Wednesday tournament. You were?
I was. We were bummed because we thought with the holiday that we might get to see you Wednesday night. But I guess having to drive an hour south and then an hour north and then 2 hours south and then another hour north all in one day would have sucked.
Well, the 2 hours south, I did. It would have been another 2 hours to get there. So
right.
I left my office at 3 and didn't get home till 5. It would have been 7 o'clock before I got down there. So I passed on the impromptu Wednesday holiday tournament.
Thanks.
But you had 4 players, right?
We had 6 players.
That's
I believe.
Two more than
No, results? that's incorrect. We had 4 players. We had 6 players on Saturday. I'm confused. Too much Star Trek in too few days.
Too much Star Trek, too much turkey.
Yeah.
So I think I saw that Mr. Kirk won the tournament.
He did, which was cool. He had a very cool, I don't want to say straightforward deck, but it was a pretty simple solver DS9 Earth. He was doing the achievement combination of no humans and no human fed and all different species.
Whoa. Okay. And he also had minimum deck size, I think, didn't he?
Yes, and he, which apparently has been a stick in his craw or whatnot for a while. He's been trying to do that, and so he was very excited to finally win that bare minimum, I think it's called. So many achievements for him for the win. You know what can you do? The Centaur is a really good ship. And
yeah, is that the attributes plus one if there's less than a couple of dilemmas into the mission or something like that?
Yeah, if there's 3 or less.
Nice.
Which I actually at one point strategically decided to overcost on an attempt with an extra dilemma just to put another one under so that he wouldn't get the bonus the next attempt.
Wow. Doesn't that kind of cancel out? Because he gets an extra person?
You know, and that's the thing. I was like, well, it's basically it's the same difference, I suppose, unless I play a dilemma that requires attributes that I don't want him to have. I don't know. It was a calculated risk, but I was far enough behind at the point that...
Just trying something, huh?
Yeah, it was just trying something. I played the Bajoran Resistance, and it was all right, but I didn't play it very well.
Yeah, that's something I've been thinking about putting together, but I haven't heard... I mean, I've heard fun things, but I haven't heard good things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It was fun, but it wasn't good. For me. I think the thing is, you approach it the same way, or at least I approach it the same way I did sort of Equinox, because that's the mechanic, or anything else that's team-based. It's like, oh, okay, Bajoran Resistance. I got to make sure I have Bajoran Resistance. It's very important to get those out and get the ship and get everything going, except the ship is only important for, like, 4 guys, 3 guys, and the other Resistance doesn't really matter that much for anything else. It's not like there's, you know, things like the Equinox has where all your Bajoran Resistance personnel are not randomly selected or they all gain a skill or something cool. You know, it's these 3 guys key off of having this ship ability, you know, preventing you from losing points. And if you don't have those, then that's not really that important. Or, you know... all of the people that you have to put in to fill the skill holes that they have don't have Bajoran Resistance, and so then you find yourself, I can finally do this thing, except it doesn't affect any of you people.
So are there not enough good Bajoran Resistance people, or is it just not tied together enough, do you think?
I don't think I played it very well. I don't think I approached it from the right standpoint. I haven't heard any, glorious tales of its, you know, fantastic victory. In fact, there was a whole slew of negative feedback when I actually based my deck off of Charlie's Bajoran Resistance deck that he won the online tournament with a few months ago, May. So I was like, oh, it must be pretty good. You know, it beat a bunch of guys from around the world online. And I threw in a couple cards that have come out since. Charlie posted on Facebook, is like, yeah, I can't decide between playing this or Bajorans tonight. But I don't have time to finish this, and that's not really ready, so I guess I'll play Bajoran. And everybody else from the TCC community was like, well, now you just have two Bajoran players. Now you just have to convince the rest of the tournament to play Bajoran, and Bajorans might win.
Wow.
I was like, wow, okay. Not a lot of respect for the Bajorans in the greater TCC community, at least on Facebook, it seems. I didn't play any NPE decks, and I, you know, had fun figuring it out, so it was certainly not the worst 0-3 tournament I've ever had, which is saying something, because there have been a lot.
Well, at least it was only a 3-round tournament. You only had to suffer through it 3 times.
That's right.
Very good. So that means, let's see, Nate was there, and who was the fourth?
Johnny. Johnny came out.
Oh, okay.
Thomas couldn't make Wednesday this time, but Johnny came out, and Nate and Matt, and unfortunately with the 5, Charlie opted to sit out. We can't convince him to just let there be a buy and join in and play when we have an odd number of people. But I do see his point for a 3-round tournament. It does make it kind of a long event to only get to play 2 out of 3 rounds.
Very good.
But luckily we had an even number this weekend on Saturday.
That's right. So Charlie had posted 2 kind of impromptu, hey, who's staying around for the holiday tournaments? One on Wednesday that was 2E, and Saturday was doubling as a release event for Resistance is Futile. And it was not required, but it was strongly encouraged to play a thematic deck, which we all took to mean you play either Federation or you play Borg.
Sure.
And that worked out pretty well.
It did.
You didn't get a memo.
I didn't. Well, see, we had this whole long conversation about what to do that weekend. And as such, I did not thoroughly read the email that went out about that tournament because I had been there for the conversation, and I assume it was communicating most of the same information, so I did not read in vast detail. Because we talked about playing the Star Wars style, you know, bring Borg and Federation and, you know, go 2-on-2, and then, you know, well, how do you work that out? Do we have to make sure we have an even number of people? And, you know, it's 2 weeks away, or I think at that point it was 1 week away.
That's or maybe long. 2 weeks That's not away. Long enough to make 2 decks.
Yeah, 2 weeks is barely enough time to make 1-1-E deck, much less to...
Especially if you're learning how to play Borg.
Yeah, exactly. So we kind of opted that out and just like, well, okay, well, we'll just have a tournament and, you know, say bring themes and, you know, since the cards won't be ready, you know, you can play old. I don't know. I guess somewhere it got stuck in my head that we weren't going to get to use the new cards. But, you know, I looked through afterwards and I don't think I would have tried to do the new objective because it's too easy to steal Earth. Particularly when we were all going to be playing, well, you know, anybody going theme was going to be playing Borg or Federation. So, you know, a 40-point mission out there to steal with both people trying to take it, cards out from under it. And I was like, ah, screw that. I'm sure I probably would have thrown in the new skill people because those are definitely skills that they are short. But as it is, it did really well. I really enjoyed playing it. I was very excited to finally get to play the movie, folks. You know, as we said when that card came out, it was a lot of fun. You know, the anticipation of getting to play the mains and having them be good again was really cool. I only lost one game, and it was by 3 points. Lost about the goal. But yeah, that's what I get for quitting the Traveler right away instead of remembering to put Mirror Image in my deck.
Oh, yeah. I tried something completely different. You know me. I played a lot of Borg.
You have.
I played Simulate Starship, you know, Eliminate Starship. I played, Assimilate Homeworld, Stop First Contact, Tarnus Particle. I've never tried playing without a facility and doing just a ship drop. So that's what I decided to do. But I did it in the Gamma Quadrant because I didn't want all my ships to get blowed up. So the Borg Scout vessel can play to any space line end, downloading a transwarp network gateway if needed. So I just put in 6 Delta missions Gamma missions, and I used the new Willing Companion so I could have multiple counterparts. So I had Wayoon and Dukat. And the new data, so I can get a resistance is futile. And I did a simulate planet for 25 and established gateway for 25. And then I took Wayuna Borg over to the Founder's homeworld and assimilated it for 40 points. So with the resistance futile, it's an even 100. It was fun.
Yeah, it was very cool. When you were setting it up, I just came in assuming you'd be playing Borg, and then you dropped Gamma Quadrant mission? Homeworld, okay. So there'll be some other stuff, and he's going to come to the Gamma Quadrant. And then they were all Gamma Quadrant missions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the facilities phase, I said, pass. which I found hilarious all 3 times. I was playing a very large deck. It had to be, it was exactly 64 cards because I wanted it to be a cube.
Which is hilarious because you weren't using cubes.
Yeah, that was also funny to me when I was making the deck early in the morning. But it had like 6 or 7. I posted it. It's got 6 or 7 different queens, and I've used like 3 of one and 2 of another and 2 of Shades of Grey. So there's really not a lot of downloading because, unfortunately, for all this time, I've felt the best queen was the First Contact queen because you can get any drone. Well, she doesn't say download a drone here. She says download a drone in place of a card play. And you can't report to the scout vessels, which means I can't download anybody, really. I could download universals to the maturation chamber if I happen to get it out. So I had a 64-card deck, and I think I saw different people in all 3 games, which is fine. It was fun.
Wow, yeah, that's rough.
The normal Borg trick of this is going to be turn 1, this is going to be turn 2, this is going to be turn 3, and on turn 4, then we'll venture out with my full cube, all my draw engines and play engines in place, and I'll be able to dial up anything I need as we go. This was pretty much, let's see who I've got in my opening hand. All right, I've got a scout vessel, let's play it, and 3 guys, and I'll flip established gateway, and we'll start scouting right now. Which was really cool, really fast.
Yeah, it looked like a different Borg experience for you.
Yeah, and my favorite part was, I had built this Dominion deck that played only in the Gamma Quadrant a while ago, and the biggest downfall was the mission spans were ridiculous.
Oh, they're awful.
Oh, they were. You get to start off with a couple of equipment at your outpost. I had to start off with a Plasmodyne relay just for the extra range on the ship.
Oh, jeez.
It was pretty brutal. And I had the same mission set because I wanted to have a lot of Dominion icons on the missions. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, man, my scout vessels only have a range of 7. If I hit like a Cytherians, it's going to be, well, I'll play another scout vessel, but that whole crew is going to be gone. I mean, forget about it. So I started looking around, and the reason I hadn't played with other missions in that Dominion deck is because I didn't want you to steal them. And I thought to myself, well, that doesn't matter. In fact, if you come and steal my mission, then I can come assimilate with no with no roadblocks. So I played with three Universal Space missions. Scout system some sort.
Yeah.
I had the home world that was 40 points. Changeling research, which was 40 points, so you could steal that too. The only mission that you couldn't steal was my Tui mission that had rescue founder. It was pretty cool. They were all range of 2 and 3. The only 6 is the home world, which is, you know, that's rough, but there's only one of those, and everything else was a 2 or 3. So I was scooting around just fine. It worked out. It was the most different Borg deck I think I've ever played. I lost to you, and I beat my other two opponents. And our game was pretty close.
It was.
You took those double turns if I had played things differently, I think I would have saved myself a turn, and it would have been more of a nail biter. I think you got a modified win. Is that right?
I did. There were definitely some. It was a squeaker. You had, the way you had to approach the missions that I had, and you managed to find my dead end mission, of course.
Yeah.
Of all the things that the Borg don't care about.
It was interesting all day. I went into this tournament thinking, okay, Charlie's probably not going to play Borg. Johnny could try Borg. Thomas could try Borg. Matt has played Borg before. I know you know how to play Borg. You played that Harness Particle deck. But I think Matt would have more fun with the Enterprise E deck. Johnny would certainly have more fun with a Federation deck. I don't think Charlie would jump into the Borg all of a sudden, because I know he doesn't have that much experience with it. So realistically, maybe TV, if he was playing something silly, and me. I would probably be the only Borg player, and everyone else would be playing Federation. I really wanted to try to do Stop First Contact, but the launch the Phoenix objective is pretty quick, and I don't think I can get out and get Earth solved faster than you can get the Phoenix launched. So I don't think that would be. I don't think that would have worked. So that's why I went with something new. I think if I would have tried it against you, it wouldn't have done much. I could have gone back in time. Well, the other option was just assimilating Earth and saying, you know what, fine, you can have your back in time stuff. You can't report anybody else to Earth or any of your outposts for the rest of the game. Doesn't hurt very much for Enterprise E since you can report to the ship, but it would have slowed down a little bit. But yeah, I had a good time. I think I'd like to. I only had a morning to do test draws, and did a few. I think I could probably tool it a little bit better and a little more efficient. I was using Handshake as a card draw engine. After I dropped the ship, I just handshake away whatever I had left and draw a full new hand of 7, and then next turn, nice. Drop the ship. But everything, all the resources in the deck uses a card play. Handshake, the ship drop, that new adapt card that lets you get any Borg event or interrupt. They all use a card play, so
that's pretty,
you can only really count on doing that 6 times. Beyond that, you're on borrowed time. So, there's got to be a more efficient way of doing it. Previously, when I played Borg, everything is about card draws. You generate card draws and you turn card draws into something else. And this was just a completely different resource that I had to manage, and I don't think I was ready for it. But I look forward to tooling it and trying it again. Maybe not Gamma Quadrant. Do it in Delta Quadrant. Do it in the Alpha Quadrant. I just wanted to be somewhere else other than where all the Federation players were going to be hunting for my little scout vessels.
Sure. Yeah, that definitely turned out to be a good decision. I know I went and researched all of the Stop First Contact shenanigans so that I could make sure and counter it if necessary.
Yeah.
There was definitely, amongst the Federation players, which as you mentioned correctly, predicted everybody.
Yeah,
but you was a Federation player that day. There was some scrambling amongst the various collections as to how to split the assorted Zephron Cochrans.
Oh, right. And I was really surprised that no one threw in just a random Romulus and a random drone just to thwart Borg flying around, you know, just poke them so they can't scout or probe.
Yeah.
Not really with the theme, but yeah, if I thought people were going to be playing Borg, I probably would have put it in.
Yeah. Now, you did predict correctly, and I have been wanting to use the TNG movie folks for a while. That we all played Borg, but or that we all played Fed. But I tell you, if I had known that the cards were legal, I would have seriously thought about making a Borg deck.
Really?
There's some really cool new cards in there. I like the idea of the multiple counterparts. And
yeah.
And I'm definitely, now that I've crossed that off my bucket list, I think I'm eager to try, not at the next 20 tournament, because as it turns out, that's a week away.
Yeah.
And that is not even remotely near enough time to properly playtest a Borg deck, but
yeah, as we were playing, soon. As we were playing, I realized how cool that would be just for the basic. I'm just going to assimilate Earth. I'm not going to go back in time. I'm just going to assimilate Earth. If you can have two counterparts and two of them are Federation counterparts,
yeah,
then it's okay awesome. If one of them dies. I mean, you still have to target one. You know what? I think I'm going to retract that because you do target one, and if he happens to die, the objective goes away. So that's not as cool as
yeah,
thought it was going to be.
Did you just play it again?
Yes, if you can get it out again, yeah.
Or change a plan, you know, pick it up and play it again.
Yeah, I think if your counterpart is killed, I think the assimilate homework is discarded.
Oh,
I did not know. Yeah, that's pretty rough. But yeah, I'll have to look into that. Either way, it's really nice to have multiple counterparts because they all had unique skills to the collective.
Definitely. All right, cool. Well, happy First Contact anniversary, everyone. And we hope that you guys also have some fun playing some TNG movie folks or some random Gamma Borg or Delta Borg or Alpha Borg. Somebody stop First Contact.
Moving back to Tui then. Did you see the article go up with all the different cards?
I did. That's very exciting, actually. I'm looking forward to seeing more for all of those teams. Which are you looking most forward to, do you think?
It's tough. I don't know. On one hand, I like teams because it takes a lot of the deck construction out of my hands. And I know that's not supposed to be, you know, one of the selling points, but really, when I'm in a rush, it really does help out. I mean, it helps me narrow things down. I don't play a lot of Maquis. I hate them a lot. I think I've mentioned this before. I hate them. I hate playing against them. I hate running a tournament where they're being played because everything goes to time. This looks like a different type of Maquis.
I agree.
So that might be fun to try out.
Yeah, that would be nice.
On the other hand, it'd be hard to not throw in all the normal Maquis stuff.
Or at least a little.
Yeah. How about you?
You know, I played it, to borrow a hipster term, I played it before it was cool, and I'm... As such, or more to the point, I played it before it had help. So I'm looking forward to something that actually ties the holograms together.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, we're not seeing all the pieces yet.
There's another one posted right now.
We just ticked over, didn't we?
Yeah. Aiden.
So maybe we will get it.
Neat.
But, you know, there's the...
Right. Oh, and the pack art is up. I didn't notice that.
The holoprograms and, you know, placing holograms on events, but how that's going to work exactly is as of yet.
Are you looking at this Aiden card?
I'm waiting for it to load. Okay, here it is. At the start of each of your turns, you may place a hologram from hand on each holoprogram event in your core, then draw an equal number of cards. Huh. So, you put them
out. Does
it
just look like Nathan Fillion?
It does. In that picture, he totally looks like Nathan Fillion. I was going to say that, but I was like, not everybody is as obsessed with Nathan Fillion as I am, so they may not get that. But yeah, totally.
I guess we'll have to see what the Hall... Man, that's a lot of skills for three.
Yeah, four, three six, cost six. And card draws every turn. Assuming you have guys. And then the doctor lets you play them as if they're from hand.
Huh.
So, yeah. It'll be interesting to see... Is it Dujal and Weiss are the other two uniques?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. It looks like Weiss in the background there.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Well, as those trickle out, we'll be able to piece something together there. You know, the hard part about that is you could throw him into any deck because he's non-aligned and he's a hologram and he can gain skills and then bounce back to hand. And
that's true.
I guess it's a little harder with a three-cost guy to justify using cluttering on, but that's a lot of skills.
Yeah, I mean, but cluttering plus the draw engine, that's pretty cool if you have a few holograms. The cool thing, I think that article was, I'm sure, deliberately designed and interestingly constructed in that you got to see what all of the teams are going to be, but you really didn't get to see what all the teams are going to be.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, okay. You know, it's not like you get to see Equinox and you know how their whole team is going to work. Obviously these teams are going to require multiple cards to work together to do whatever their shenanigans end up being. Particularly the Borg, I have no idea how. It sounds like there's going to be something to make, or at least my guess is that there's going to be something that makes other Borg dissidents, because I don't see how you could play these guys otherwise.
Right. Or maybe it'll let you play non-aligned.
Possibly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have an additional card to spoil. It is not a member of any of the teams, although it looks like it is a team support card.
It does, as is with the theme of the set, not just releasing new teams, but adding support to previous teams. This one lends some assistance to the outmaneuvered, outmanned, outgunned, outnumbered.
Vastly outnumbered?
Vastly outnumbered? No, we did this last time. Vastly outnumbered. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're all vastly outnumbered.
Right.
The DS9 team.
Yeah. In fact, they look like most of them are those guys that are on the picture there. Although they're in much better uniforms than they are on their individual cards. I think that's one of the things I don't like about them, is they're all wearing civilian clothes on the cards. It just doesn't sit right for me for some reason.
Yeah, it's been a while since I have seen that episode, possibly since it came out, because it's not very good. But, I don't know, it's early DS9. It was fine in this place. But it took me a while to realize that, that is a hologram. The image of them is a hologram. Because they're in their uniforms, and they're not in their uniforms in that episode.
Right. So this is a dilemma. Now, it's four cost. Four cost dilemmas are pretty rough, usually. There's got to be a pretty good reason to throw one of those in.
Well, it's dual, so that makes it a little better.
Yeah, it's called Optical Delusion.
Now, the game text reads, unless you have programming, two security, and transporters, or a hologram and cunning greater than 30. All of your personnel are stopped. So that's a lot of, four skills or a particular race and cunning. Holograms obviously will be a little more prevalent after this comes out, but still, sure. Not every deck has that. However, not only are all your people stopped, but this dilemma is placed in your core.
So it doesn't go under, okay.
Doesn't go under. At the start of each of your opponent's play and draw card segments, so the beginning of their turn, he or she may download Under Siege and play it at cost -2. So basically, every turn they can get that assault event out and put it in your core. To make sure that it's there and all of their text triggers.
Right, turn on all their stuff.
Now
it's pretty good.
Have you ever played the vastly outnumbered team?
No.
Neither have I.
I want to say I played a cheap, a cheap DS9 deck, and I used a lot of them because they had the right skill set that I wanted. But I don't think I ever actually used any of their text.
Because I'm just curious, like, how much of a problem that is, keeping that event out.
And yeah, well, if it's destroyed, it bounces back to your hand.
Right. So as soon as you get it out once, then you've pretty much got it. I mean, you have to keep paying for it, which might be rough, but those guys are pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Well, I guess mid-game, when your opponent starts doing missions, you throw this down and, you know, stop a few people first and then stop them with this, and then you can keep getting it. It'll get you set up. So you don't have to worry about it after that.
I mean, it's not an easy dilemma to get past, for certain.
Programming,
you know, I'd say it at least moderate.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got at least a filter in front of it, if you know they don't have any holograms, and hope they don't have the skills.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do some filtering first. 4-cost all stop that doesn't go under. Might be worthwhile.
Yeah, if nothing else. I mean, it's another skill-based dilemma that the skill-based symbol that potentially doesn't go under. That could be useful on its own.
That's true.
You know, I don't know. I guess I would play it. I would definitely play it in an Under Siege deck. I'd think about using it not in an Under Siege deck.
Just to be wacky.
A legacy deck, you know?
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, that's definitely, in keeping with the theme, a new spoiler to add to the list for you prospective card list makers out there. This is not a lot of help, but at least it'll give you an idea of how many dilemmas run before it. It is 25v3.
Do you know who says the quote on there?
One of the Ferengi's holosuites is in use. I'm going to assume it's Colonel Day or somebody else in Ops when the Bajorans have taken over.
Right, okay.
They see that and they go, oh, hey, that's the lure that gets them down there.
Right, okay. Was there an Under Siege Kira, or was she off rescuing somebody or something?
No, she was, I think, on the planet.
Oh, flying around with Dax?
Possibly.
And the Bajoran Raider?
Yeah, it was all non-Bajorans. You couldn't... except for Lee Nalas. I don't know why he stayed there. Yeah, like I said, long time since I've seen this one. Maybe I'll have to dig it out. Maybe that will inspire me to play this team again. Or for the first time. If I watch it again, I'll play this team.
Well, there are... You know, who knows? Maybe there'll be more help. Because if not a lot of people are playing them, maybe they need more help in this. We'll see what we get.
All right, cool. Well, that's definitely a cool peek into the new set. I'm going to have to not call it Project Silver. Unity is the name of the set.
Yeah.
To go with the Children of Light, which is very cool. We'll obviously be getting more and different looks at that as the weeks go forward, both from our from the website and from our own intelligence resources, which will be fun, and a good Christmas present to all, even to those who don't celebrate Christmas.
There should be, we should have some release kits coming online in a few days too.
Excellent. So order them now and order them often.
Yeah, get them in order. Get your orders in quick for the Resistance is Futile kits. The kits that were ordered within the first few days all went out right away, and the next few kits, things that came in a little bit later, had to wait just a smidge for more buttons, so order early.
Awesome. Well, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what other cards come out. I think that might be all of our intelligence this week, yes?
No.
No?
No. I believe some words are owed.
Oh, yes. Well, I was going to do that, but yes. Okay. Well, the UK nationals were this weekend, or the 1E nationals. The Tui Nationals already happened, I believe. But my nemesis, or I don't know if that's necessarily accurate. I tend to feel like anybody I play is my nemesis because I never really think I'm going to beat anybody. But he to whom I am apparently a nemesis is the new UK First Edition World Champion. So congratulations to Danny Nuttersclan. Congratulations and apologies again for always mangling your name. Nuttall. Yeah. Well done, Danny. I look forward to not playing against that deck that you won Worlds with next time we play online.
Very good.
Or perhaps I will go and pick apart, analyze that deck so I can play exactly what I need to beat you. Mwah! Maniacal laugh!
At the end of
Maniacal
the round,
laugh!
One be discarded from play.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we can ever play in an in-person tournament. Cause,
no, you can't be in the same location.
Yeah, if we're at the same, if, you know, one of us would just disappear. You just have to hope you go first.
I'm just imagining you guys going from table to table trying not to be at the same table. And then eventually you are, and poof. For all you 2E players, the Nemesis icon is really weird. But anyway.
We have to have a little t-shirt made with that little Nemesis icon on the sleeve.
Each pointing in opposite directions?
Yeah, yeah. You can stand back to back and they point at each other? That'd be funny. All right, I'm going to have to go to UK Nationals next year. All right. Clearly we're reaching new levels of punchy, and it's time to wrap things up here. But again, in all seriousness, congratulations, Danny, for your first edition win. Also playing the Federation TNG movie era crew with some Sona backup, which is obviously a good deck. That's what I was playing this weekend. Didn't do as well as you did, obviously. So perhaps we'll have to have a head-to-head. But congratulations on that win, and thanks to everybody who came out to the tournaments this weekend. That was a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again, say, Saturday.
Yeah, I've got a few days to take this. Oh, you know what? I've got this other deck that I have put together that I haven't played yet. Maybe I'll try that.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah. You know what that kind of plan that is?
Last
a lazy plan. Pretty good.
All right. Well, that's about the end of our intelligence for this week. On behalf of Dan and myself, we will offer up our thanks to Warp 11, as always, because they are awesome, and we really like having that. Section 31 is our theme song. I am Sir Rogue. And he is Sir Dan. And I will remind you all to...
Our connection just deteriorated, nothing.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I think so.
And I am Sir Dan.
Clearly, that means we need to wrap it up. And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I'll draw to end. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31. Welcome to Section 31, episode number
28, I think.
I don't even know.